Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there are times within the preaching cycle that texts come along that just don't seem to fit in. It's kind of like those that constructed the pericope just kind of pulled this one out of midair and plucked it down on the fourth Sunday in Advent. First look, it looks to have nothing to do with Christmas. And it certainly has nothing to do with Advent, and so therefore, why is it here? Now, just on a cursory overview, that would be the take I'd have, but if you kind of take a closer look and begin to lay this text down over the gospel lesson, it begins to make a lot more sense. In fact, it seems to mirror the narrative of the gospel verse by verse. In fact, that's what I want to do today. I want to look at, see how the epistle lesson is actually tied to the gospel lesson and what can we learn from that to strengthen our faith and our knowledge in our Heavenly Father. So therefore, Paul starts out with the words, now, to him who is able to strengthen you. Now, the first thing I thought was, now, well, with Mary, do you think she might have needed just a little bit of strength? The angel Gabriel just appeared to her. She was a teenager, probably a year or two into her teenage years. She was betrothed to be married to a guy by the name of Joseph. She lived in this podunk, out-of-the-way place up in Nazareth. In fact, one would say, can anything good come from Nazareth? And there the angel was in front of her, says, rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And our text comes right out and says that Mary was troubled at these words because she could not figure out what they meant and why they were being spoken to her. Because after all, she was Mary, insignificant Mary. Now, if you don't know the feeling she was going through, maybe I could give you a little bit of an illustration. Remember when you were in junior high, you had started algebra, and it wasn't probably the easiest thing to do for you if you're anything like me, and the teacher's up on the board putting the problem on the board, and then she leaves the answers blank. Then she turns to the class and says, looking for someone to solve the problem. If you're like me, you know the old desk that used to pull up so you could put your books inside? You pop it up real quick and hide behind it. Don't call on me, because I'll look like an idiot. And then she says the words you were not wanting to hear. She calls you by name. Emotionally, you respond by your knees getting a little shaky. That big lump appears in your throat and your stomach is twisted in a knot. And you're thinking, who, me? You want me? Maybe then you have a little bit of an idea what Mary was going through as the angel Gabriel had stood in front of her and says, oh, one most highly favored by God. She desperately needed to be strengthened for the task for her that was lying ahead. But I wonder as I say that, what about you? Do you ever need strengthening? God has brought something into your life that you do not feel that you're prepared to handle. Or perhaps there's fears that you're struggling with over challenges in your daily life. Maybe it's financial or marital or physical or whatever it may be. But deep down inside, you're asking yourself, how can this be? Or perhaps you just basically have a despair that your daily bread, that you don't know how to face each new day. And you hear these words of St. Paul, that this idea that God may strengthen you, and you long to hear it. You want to hear, may God be a God who is able to give me strength to face the challenges that I have, because quite honestly, right now, I'm greatly perplexed. I'm standing back and wondering, what exactly does this mean to me? But Paul doesn't stop there. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, if you totally zone out right now, or you're zoned out, zone in just for a second. Because this is the most important point of the entire sermon. If you want strength, where do you find it? Paul says, according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, if you want strength for your daily walk or your trudge in my case, the reality is look no further than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul called it his gospel. Why? Because he preached it. But the angel Gabriel could also call it his gospel. Why? Because he spoke those words of grace and mercy right into the ear of the Virgin Mary. He was giving, the gospel that Gabriel spoke was that God was giving her a son, but just not any son, but the very Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Now, this brings up to mind several good points. The first one is this. Perhaps there's times in your life where God's grace and favor doesn't really feel a whole lot like God's grace and favor, if you know what I mean. For example, as Mary heard these words, there's probably about a gazillion other things she'd prefer to do for God than be become pregnant as a betrothed virgin. Because the consequences for her could have been terminal. Had Joseph been a faithful Jewish boy, according to the law, he should have stoned her at the city gate to teach all the other Jewish girls how to behave. But I'm sure Mary in her mind was thinking, Lord, give me something else. This doesn't feel like grace and favor to me. Give me something else. Something more achievable. Something that I can see. But what about you? Certainly you're aware of the verse in the Bible that says God works for the good of all things for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So you know that if it's true that God pours out His grace and favor upon you, and then you find this big challenge comes into your life, and begin to ask yourself the question, now it doesn't feel like grace and favor, Lord. It feels more like judgment. I don't see the end of this. And I don't see where this turns out to my favor. God, this just doesn't feel right to me. There's about a gazillion other things I would do, but not this. Not this cross to bear, Lord. Not ever. Well, besides perhaps God's grace and favor doesn't always feel like grace and favor, the second question I ask is, how will this be? That's what Mary asked, Lord. How will this be? How does this all play out? After all, I'm a virgin. And after all, I'm pledged to that guy, Joseph. We've never been together, and you're saying that I've become pregnant with the very child of God. How is this possible? Well, the reality is, by the preaching of Jesus Christ, it tells us you have found favor with God, and God has graced you as well. He has graced you in many ways. Number one, by adopting you into the family of God through the water of your baptism. Now that's a miracle in and of itself. Then He has given you the power of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that not only has created faith in you, but continues to sustain it day by day through the challenges of life that you live in. And He's also given you faith in His Word. Miraculous, isn't it? That we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle indeed. If you begin to ask questions, you begin to see as Paul finishes up, he says, nothing is impossible with God. Now, if a virgin birth seems a little bit impossible to you, look at the challenge you face in your everyday life. Now begin to ask the question, if God can bring a virgin to give birth to the very Son of God, can He handle what I'm struggling with in my life right now, today? Well, what God promises to do, He will do for you, period. Which is, in fact, what Paul says next. Now, to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations. Let me give you a thumbnail sketch. God doesn't make stuff up on the fly. Jesus wasn't an oops baby. God had it all planned out. Jesus would come into the world in the fullness of time. But God had a plan from the very beginning. And Gabriel's telling Mary that God's plan is coming to fruition within your womb. Christ is being born into the world, the Savior of all, who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Yes, Mary, the child born within you is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Begotten of the Virgin, the Son of Man, but the very Son of God, He is the Messiah, the Savior, the one promised. If you remember all the way back in the book of Genesis. Oh, and by the way, a kingdom that is greater than this world and whatever this world can throw at you. That's the kingdom of God. And that's a kingdom that you are a part of because of faith. But how often do you and I need reminded of that? How often do we need to be reminded that God's kingdom, the one who is in me, is greater than he is in the world. That God has an ability to sustain. Look back through the prophetic word. All the times God had made promises and then ultimately fulfilled them. The God provided strength in the midst of what seemed to be unsurmountable difficulties. The parting of the Red Sea, just to name one of them. Amazing that God would provide for His people through a miraculous means. Paul goes on to say, according to the command of the eternal God, the command of the eternal God whose word does what it says. You got a peek of that back in the book of Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was LES. The lights came on. God said to Lazarus, who was dead in the tomb, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. God promises on the last day, He will raise those who have died in the faith to eternal life with Him. The word will be spoken, and they will rise. God's promise is given. The promises that God made to the Virgin Mary are true, and the promises He made to you are true and still coming true. But why? Paul writes to bring about the obedience of faith. And that's what actually happens. For Mary, her response was simply this, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And I ask the question, how can Mary do such a thing? How can you in faith listen to the promise and agree to bring forth the very Son of God? How can this be? Well, only by the strength of the gospel and the power of God's word working in her, providing all that she needed. These words that Mary spoke are not so much a testimony to her, but a testimony to God working in her. And I suggest it's the same for you and me. God has worked in you tremendously. After all, you're here. I can think of about a bazillion snowflakes outside not to be here. And it's cold outside. And it's Christmas Eve day. You have better things to do. Why are you here? Because God has worked a miracle in you. And then we join together to confess that ancient creed, the Nicene Creed, that declaration that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God begotten of the Father. And for you, it was more than just lip syncing. You actually believe it. You spoke the creed together. You know, in a moment you're going to come and kneel at this altar to receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Why? To so many within the world today, it's just bread and wine. It means nothing. It's simply a remembrance meal. But you confess it to be what Christ said it is, His very flesh and blood. And God has created that faith in you and continues to sustain in you to this very day. But here's the challenge. We sometimes disobey the testimony to sin still living within us. There are some times when you and I, quite honestly, are weak and we want to live our lives according to our words. I want to be the boss. I want to make decisions. I want to be in control. This whole idea of God overshadowing us and bringing maybe a challenge or something to our life is really beyond what we can bear. And we say, Lord, but why? Better question is, why has God ever loved you and me? Paul earlier on in the epistle says these words, God shows His love for us in this, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's a picture of God's love for you and me through this whole Christmas season. It's a picture that God would literally send His own flesh into the world and He'd suffer and die for sinners such as you and me. Isn't that really what Christmas is all about? I think that's why it's a mistake to look at Mary and say, well, the reason God chose her is because she was holier and wiser than everyone else. She was special. No, Jesus came from sinners to sinners for sinners. And didn't Mary actually say, my Savior, as she talked about Christ? Mary too heard those words, that in Him we might be the righteousness of God, that you and I might be forgiven. Well, the text wraps up with the words that, and the angel departed for her. But the separation was only temporary, because the angel Gabriel and Mary would meet again at the throne of God to sing praises to the child that was born for sinners such as you and me. In the same way that you and I, even today, come into His presence as we kneel with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven and receive the flesh and blood of Christ by faith for the forgiveness of all of our sins. See, there's the deal. As we gather around what we cannot see, but by faith, until we see with our own eyes. And so Gabriel departed from her. His message delivered, his job complete. But now it is with us. Emmanuel, God Himself, is with us, conceived and growing in Mary. And behold, Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this morning, as you and I gather in this place, we rejoice in the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In the epistle lesson for the day, we give thanks for the message of the angel Gabriel, that Mary would be with Christ, with the child, the Christ child. And we rejoice in the fact that God has created and continues to sustain faith in us, even when we face our challenges of life. Well, I think any day is a good day, especially this time of year. Merry Christmas. Amen. May the peace of God, which sustains us in all of our trials and troubles, that gives us a peace beyond what the world can possibly understand, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We rise together.